and welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes. I'm an author, lifestyle entrepreneur, former pro athlete, and world record holder in football. My goal with the School of Greatness is to share with you stories from the most inspiring business minds, world-class athletes, and influential celebrities on the planet to help you find out what makes great people great. So please leave us a review over on iTunes and join us on the web at schoolofgreatness.com to be notified of each episode when it comes out. Now let's get after it. Today I have the world's fittest man on to talk about what it takes to win what I would say is the most challenging physical contest known to man, the CrossFit World Championships. Now, our guest, Graham Holmberg, is a personal friend of mine. I've known Graham since college. We were football teammates. We were both wide receivers at Capital University in Columbus, Ohio. I taught him how to play the guitar. We had many late nights playing poker in the college dorm and all sorts of amazing stories I could share with you at another time. But Graham is really the guy who got me back into shape. After I got injured playing professional football, after I was recovering, I went to Graham to figure out how I could lose the weight and really get back into peak performance. He told me about this new thing he was doing called CrossFit, and he introduced me to this workout that's really transformed the way that I run my life and my fitness levels. And Graham won the CrossFit World Championships in 2010, and has since then been to two other games, done extremely well, and continues to be one of the leaders in the CrossFit community. So I hope you guys enjoyed this interview as much as I enjoyed doing the interview with Graham.
We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card, you call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone if you only had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
How you doing, my man?
Good, Lou. Thanks
good?
For having me.
Yeah? So tell me, why are you so passionate about CrossFit?
It's a pretty tough question to kind of nail in one easy sentence. It's almost the same kind of approach when somebody asks you, what is CrossFit?
Right.
You know, it's like, well, how much time do you got for me to explain it all? But the, you know, I think my original start into CrossFit was just almost a pride thing and an athlete and being competitive. It was like, there's a competition, I want to go win it.
Right.
And so my training was all just designed just to be the best and go win. And as I kind of learned more about the sport, learned more about running an affiliate, being a personal trainer, and then just being involved with a great community of people, it's awesome to be a part of so many people's lives, mm-hmm. to impact, to inspire, and just to be able to coach people on a day-to-day basis. And just help people reach their goals, just like I originally was able to reach my goal.
Right. So tell me about, let's get back into kind of your youth. Tell me about your story as a kid. Were you always an athlete, or was this something you became an athlete later in life?
Always an athlete. As far as I can remember, my dad always had me in sports.
Yep.
I had three older sisters, all were in sports. And my dad was my coach and probably the most competitive person I've ever met. And so I think that competitive streak obviously transferred into me. And just growing up, it was always, you got to train harder than everybody that you're going against. Everybody's going to catch up. And I don't know if it was necessarily that, you know, I was born with just great athleticism, or if it was just my dad just pushed me to my, you know, my limitations and then beyond what I thought I could ever do. So as I grew up, it was just always instilled in me, give everything you got. Mm. You're at the field longer than everybody else till it got dark. Always doing one more extra round, one more extra set, doing the extra mile. So that was just kind of growing up until I kind of started reaching in high school and kind of almost started getting my own kind of mentality of what I wanted with life. And obviously girls started coming into the equation, the party scene, everything started coming into play. So views in my mentality and focus started kind of steering a different direction.
Right. So now we played college football together, obviously. And tell me about your experience in college, because it's much different now from when college used to chew tobacco, drink a lot of alcohol. You know, there was the girl thing all the time. I mean, tell me about your experience in college, and did you feel like you were on your right path in college?
I probably wouldn't admit it at the time, but obviously looking back, I can definitely say I remember getting recruited by Division I schools for football and baseball in high school, offered scholarships.
Because you were all state, right, in both football and baseball?
I was all league in our school, but again, kind of going back, just always remembering, hey, you need to keep training hard. I was always one of the best athletes in our city growing up.
Right.
And you kind of thought, oh, what he's saying isn't going to really ever apply. Everyone will catch up.
Right.
And so that kind of started happening. Everyone started catching up.
Right.
And at that point, I kind of lost some of that work ethic that I originally was instilled with.
Mm-hmm.
So almost going to a smaller Division III where I ended up playing football and baseball at, probably was just shy of really the end result of what I probably could have got myself to if I'd have kept pushing hard.
Now, did you end up becoming an All-American in baseball or All-Conference?
All-Conference. Yeah, All-Conference in baseball. Football, I had to end up changing positions because I was behind an All-American quarterback.
Right.
So I switched positions to receiver, but ended up starting half of our junior year and then all of my senior year.
Right.
So, it was just some adversities that happened. And had to change and had to start working hard to try to catch up. But almost at that point, it was almost too late for the sporting career that I originally kind of hoped and dreamed
of. Baseball or football, right?
Right.
So now why do you think you partied so much in college? Because you partied pretty hard from what I remember.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's funny to think of as I grow up, you hear these health classes and stuff of like peer pressure and this and that. And you're like, no way, I'm above that. And it happens. I mean, it flat out happens. And I think it was my sophomore year in high school, got introduced to dip and tried it, chewing tobacco, and it's like, I actually kind of liked it. So started doing that on a regular basis, started, partying, had older sisters. So, I could get alcohol or, if I wanted to smoke some weed or something, you knew the right people or could get connections. So, And then at the same time, you're thinking, I can still do this and I can still play sports and still be successful in my sports. Mm-hmm. It's not really slowing me down. It's not going to hinder what I'm doing. Yeah. So once I started dipping, drinking, smoking weed, it really didn't seem to affect.
Because you can still compete at a high level.
Sure.
You're a good enough athlete to compete in high school and in college.
Right? Yeah. And then obviously girls, I mean, it's just another distraction.
Right.
Dating girls, in and out of relationships, and it's like, that's not going to deter me from training or screw me up on the court or on the field.
Yep.
And I really didn't see much kind of much problems with it because I was still successful and still had good performances and good games.
Yeah.
But there was definitely, I could tell that there was a lack or there was a piece missing from like my work ethic and just didn't excel or didn't perform to, I think, what I always perceived that I was capable of.
Right. Now, you don't do dip, you don't drink, you don't smoke anymore, right?
Right.
So what was the thing either during college or after college that made you decide that you wanted to give it all up?
Yeah. So obviously high school, still doing that carried right over through college. Maybe got amplified a little bit more. Now you're living on your own. You didn't really have to hide anything from your parents as much cause they weren't around. So it was just you doing your own thing and kind of experiencing life as your own young adult and trying new stuff. And it just, like I said, just kind of got amplified a little bit more, but, still able to, get good grades and still compete, still do well.
Mm-hmm.
And, it honestly lasted all the way through senior all my sports.
Year.
Yep, all the way through my senior year. It wasn't until after I graduated from school, or getting ready to finish graduating, had kind of a tragic accident happen with our family, with my cousin passing away in a car accident. And it was a pretty horrendous moment, just it kind of shocked me, kind of shocked obviously our family, and it just kind of resorted back to me always thinking, I'm invincible.
Right.
Had a fast car in high school, had a fast car through college, and just making dumb decisions and thinking that it's not going to happen to me. That happens to other people, that it won't ever happen to me.
Yeah.
And so when that moment kind of hit and kind of saw the broken family in the hospital,
yeah,
that started kind of tearing into my heart a little bit. And I was raised and grown up in a Christian family, church going, even a couple times through college, found myself in church a few times on Sunday mornings, just kind of knowing that there was something that I was getting tugged, knowing that there was something missing.
Yeah. And were you bringing the tobacco in a church?
I was not bringing it. So once once that kind of started resettling in again, it was kind of the end of December of 2007, right after I'd finished school and graduated, that I decided to kind of get my life back on track with the Lord and just kind of reaccepted Jesus Christ in my life and asked Him to be my Savior again and just lead me and direct me, because obviously I was trying it on my own and it wasn't working. Right. And just didn't want to be kind of left by myself. I just, like I said, felt empty.
Yeah. Now, how close were you with your cousin? Did you guys grow up together? Did you guys, was he your age?
No, I was 21. He was 17. Okay. So he was a junior in high school.
Yeah.
But he had just started maturing, started kind of just reminded me of me, myself a little bit. He played different sports, played football, lacrosse, and wrestled.
Yeah.
But he was starting to become a young man, starting to lift weights. And it was just cool to kind of see him. Like, it always seemed like he was so young, and now he's finally was growing up, and then to just get that kind of ripped from him. And it just hurt me, because it was like, that could have easily been me, and he didn't get to experience the same stuff I could have. And it just, I almost saw in him some of the work ethic and stuff that I potentially wanted. And that just really just kind of tore into me.
So you think he had more of a better work ethic than you, like coming into high school or going into college? I guess you think he was more focused. Was he kind of going off the path you were, or was he more straight focused?
You know, I'm not real sure. Obviously, I was always around him multiple times throughout the year, definitely holidays. We lived just right next to the same cities, his mother, my mother, sisters. Mm-hmm. So it was, I never knew him as to be like a party kind of kid. He was always super quiet, really humble. He'd always just kind of have this little smile, kind of smirk, just always a happy kid.
Right.
And definitely there I saw parts of me kind of in him with, you know, just kind of that happy, always kind of go-lucky kind of personality. But I was definitely more, way more outgoing, a lot more pride, very cocky.
Yeah.
And
I remember.
Definitely was not going to be missed out at the party scene.
Right.
And so I didn't know if that really is anything that he was connected with.
Right.
But if it was never anything obvious.
So after you graduated college, where was your life headed at that point? You're chewing tobacco, you're smoking, you're drinking, you're doing the girl thing, the party scene. Where was your life headed? And where do you think it was going to go if you didn't have this tragic accident in your family?
Honestly, I thank the Lord that that I don't know where it was going to end up going, because honestly, I didn't have a clue. I basically picked a very easy major through college.
Mm-hmm. You're going to be a teacher, right?
I was going to be an art teacher,
because
I kind of wanted to be a teacher and a coach, being involved with sports. And I just didn't know, and I really didn't have a passion for that.
Right.
But it was like, this was an easy major. I could do my art classes and stuff when I needed to on the side. And so I just, like I said, it was just empty. I just knew it was like, I'll end up figuring something else out. That was always kind of like kind of my mentality. I was definitely a procrastinator, and like, I'll figure it out when it comes up, or when the pressure situation comes.
Right.
I'll make a decision and it'll work. And so I just didn't want to live like that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So started to get a little bit more organized. Started, I think I picked up like 3 or 4 jobs right there in the beginning of January 2008.
After the accident.
Right. I picked up a coaching job. So the high school that my cousin went to, I became the freshman baseball coach there. And so that definitely just further helped me. It was like, I don't want to be a hypocrite to these kids and inspire them and coach them up and teach them the right habits if I'm doing bad stuff as well.
Right.
So that kind of just, again, just furthered, really was kind of all built up and helped, you know, through my faith as well. And once that started rolling, you know, good things started happening. I started working out a lot more, started finding myself back in the weight room again.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe I'm going to try to pursue going back after baseball again. And I'm just going to get in the best shape I possibly can and just be Mr. Hustle and just be the guy that just does all the dirt.
Scrappy.
Yep.
Hustle, yeah.
Everything that you have to do, the coach needs you to do, I'll do.
Right.
And I always kind of used to despise that kind of player. Like, whatever, I'll just I'll just hit the home runs and strike people out and
steal bases
and just I'll be the star and make the stats work versus Johnny Hustle, I guess. So as conditioning and everything started rolling, I was like, well, maybe I'll be a personal trainer and help share this experience to people. Mm-hmm. And that's about
when we started training, right?
Yeah. So you had kind of left Capital for a while. You were a year ahead of me and came back in. You're like, geez, you're going nuts in the workout room. And just, I got to do this with you. And
I remember you doing the 300 workouts, right?
I was doing it like every day. I thought like that's what they did in the movie 300. They were doing that 300 workout every single day.
Right.
So yeah, I got pretty good at that workout. And that was kind of like the first CrossFit type really workout that I was doing. But, you know, running, jumping, being an athlete is involved with CrossFit.
Right.
So when I started getting into CrossFit workouts more in detail, it wasn't a huge adjustment because it was like, I already been doing this stuff my whole life.
Right. So when did you stop? When did you cut off all the bad stuff in your life? Was it right after the accident? Was it,
it was cold turkey? It was cold turkey
no smoking, no spot. Drinking, yeah. No dip. You didn't have another pack of dip in your mouth, right?
Right. Yeah, it's been, almost 6 years now.
Wow. So it was cold. That day, when you found out, you stopped.
Yeah, I made a decision to just completely wipe that stuff out of my life and not really let it control me anymore.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And do you feel like if you'd still be living that lifestyle, having the substances in your body, do you feel like you would have the opportunity to be a CrossFit world champion?
I definitely can't say that would be the same case.
Right.
There's definitely a scripture that talks about water coming out of a spout being salt water or fresh water, and it can't be both. Mm. You know, and so for me, I can't be this kind of party animal and living my own lifestyle, and then also trying to pursue this dream that requires a different lifestyle. It's just not going to work.
Right.
So I've made mistakes. I have drank.
Sure.
You know, since then. I've had a cigar with my father-in-law and, you know, out on a golf course or something. I've gotten married. But as far as, you know, as the drug consumption and, you know, drinking and partying multiple times throughout the week and weekend.
It's not a part of your life.
It can't be.
So what was the, so you started training more, you started cutting the bad stuff out of your life. What inspired you to get into CrossFit? How'd you find out about it? What really got you going?
When I heard about CrossFit, I was still in school, and it was just one of my friends that I played football with. And he said, I see you working out at the Cap Center all the time. You should look into CrossFit. They kind of do the same stuff.
Right.
And I thought, what I'm doing is way harder than what anybody else is ever doing. And I was kind of like, still had a little cocky attitude with me. And it was like, I was challenged. I would just flat out put the challenge to people. I'm like, I almost want to put a video out and just say anybody in the world wants to come try to beat me in these workouts.
You were a freak, I remember. It was insane.
So it was kind of a fun kind of cockiness with it all, but at the same time, it was still kind of a learning experience and still developing the skills. As I became a personal trainer and got more and more delved with back with Olympic weightlifting and powerlifting and introducing tires and more and more pull-ups, sandbags, just more awkward objects, kettlebells. So I was really doing a lot of CrossFit movements that you incorporate in the games and every day in CrossFit gyms. I just didn't know that there was CrossFit affiliates that were doing that, like we were doing at the facility I was training at. So my partner, or he was just another trainer at the same facility, he had kind of heard about CrossFit before I did and really didn't say too much because he wanted to go get certified and go learn more about it just for his own expertise. But the more he started looking into it and searching on YouTube and seeing these guys, he's like, you got to do this, man. He's like, I think these guys can beat you in these workouts. And I'm like, no way. So we started looking into it. And I think that was when I saw like Jason Kalipa had just won the 2009 games. So that was the end of
2008 games because you competed.
Yeah, 2008 games. He had just won the games in 2008. So the end of 2008 and then the beginning of 2009, that was right when I first heard about it and started searching it.
And so what happened next? You started training for it? What happened?
Well, obviously got onto CrossFit.com and started looking at what the workouts were.
Right.
And they weren't that much different from what I was doing. They were just a little more organized. I was just kind of a
throwing something together.
I was just crazy. I was almost like, just take as much movements as you can, throw a bunch of reps with it, and just kill it as fast as you can.
Right.
And if you weren't dying on the ground exhausted, you didn't go hard enough kind of idea. So So more kind of structure with my training also started happening as that structured training came around. Brandon, my friend and training partner at the time, goes, there's a regional coming up. They now have to have, you have to qualify to make it to the games. CrossFit regional in 2009. And it was in May, and I had about 3 months to prepare for it.
Wow.
So we just started going nuts, training really hard. And I was super confident going into it, telling my parents, best shape of my life, telling my parents, I'm going to win this thing.
Wow.
Come out, watch me crush this. Like, this is what I do. I'm beating these guys' times. I'm beating the previous champs' times on the workouts that he's posting.
Right.
So I was definitely ready for it. 2009 regional rolls out. And I get smashed on the first workout. Like, it kicked my butt way better, worse than, like, any workout ever did.
What was the first workout?
It was 21-15-9 with 275-pound deadlift and chest-to-bar pull-ups.
Okay.
So it just ripped my hands open. Like, my back was fried. Like, my technique on kipping pull-ups wasn't horrible. As good as it needed to be at the time.
This was regionals.
This is at the regional level. Okay. So I'd still really just learned how to do kipping pull-ups better. And that workout just smashed me. And then we had to come back later in the day and do a double kettlebell thruster and burpee workout.
Wow.
It was rough. And then we ended with like a long row, a 2,000-meter row to finish the day. And the first workout was humbling. It was like I was like 25th right after the first WOD.
In regionals.
In regionals.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, I'm going to win this. I'm just going to crush
this. Top two go?
Top. At this time, the setup to make it to the games was different.
Okay.
So this region allowed the top six to make it.
Okay.
And
so you're in 25th, and you got to be in top six.
Right.
To go to the World Championships.
Yep. So I just kept clawing, scratching, fighting back. And last workout going into it, I think I was in seventh place.
Okay.
So I was one place out to make it to the games.
Wow.
And ended up getting third on the final workout, like third fastest time, just by like 2 seconds. I was only right there, almost tied the first and second place, and jumped from seventh and got fourth place and qualified for the games.
Wow, so kind of your make or break moment. You made it so you could at least qualify to see if you could compete at the games.
Right.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay, so what happened next? You go to the World Championship?
2009 games, and honestly, just all the buildup and all the hype getting into that regional, I felt like it just wasted I lost so much energy and so much focus and so much...
Because you didn't win the regional.
Yeah, so it was really, really exhausting mentally and physically, just all the hype building up for that regional.
Yeah.
So it was tough for me to kind of refine that spark in my training.
Right.
I was almost burnt out as the games kind of came up, but I was still in awesome shape. I was trying to get a little bit stronger, and I think I gained about 5 more pounds in the next couple months to try to be stronger for the competition.
Right.
And 2009 games,
right,
kind of the events start rolling out, and I just didn't do as well as I wanted.
You think you'd win in 2009?
I was very high expectations. I felt, okay, I'm stronger, I'm still in great shape. I was confident that I was going to do very, very well. I didn't necessarily... I had you wouldn't go out there and compete if you didn't think you were going to win.
Right.
But
you weren't sure what to expect.
Right. I had no clue what to expect. I knew this was my first exposure to this whole event. First time ever going to California. So there's just a whole new experience involved with it.
Yeah.
And, the events started kind of coming out. And
what were the results?
Well, I ended up 19th out of, I think there was 74 guys.
Yeah.
The first event was a 7K mountain run.
Wow.
So there's no mountains in Ohio. So I really hadn't done any long distance, any kind of hill running.
Yeah.
So I got 56th on the first workout.
Wow.
So I just had to keep clawing and fighting back. And they made cuts after day one. And I think they took the top 16 to day two. And I was 19th place. So I was 3 spots off of making it to day two.
Wow. So tell me about how you felt after you got 19th in 2009.
I had my whole family basically saying, oh, you did so great. And everybody was so, so proud, so happy. And I was so disappointed because, yeah. you know, that was not what I'd set out to do.
Right.
And just watching the competition the next day and just like, I should still be down there. I should still be competing. I just messed up, you know, it was like I didn't train right. And I was very, very upset and like just almost upset, like at the people still competing, like it was their fault that, you know, that I wasn't down there with them still. But, you know, on the flight home, I turned to my parents. I'm like, I'm coming back. I'm going to win it next year. Because I knew, I'm like, that was my first exposure to this. I know I can do this stuff. I know I can be better than these guys. Right. And I just got to just kind of keep redirecting my focus and make sure that I'm training a little bit smarter. Not necessarily not training hard, but training smarter versus just trying to just kill myself every day. So then that whole next year was more just focused training, a little bit more detailed structure of kind of what I was doing each day. And then obviously started really focusing more on my technique and understanding the lifts better. Because there was a lot of kind of holes in my game and
right.
and just my training approach, stuff that I thought I knew or I could just kind of be athletic and muscle my way through it.
Right.
But it's not just a sport of just who's got the most capacity, but it's technique and skill and, you know, mindset as well.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So you had a full year to think about getting 19th and losing, basically. And you worked on your technique, you worked on, you know, structure of the workouts as opposed to just doing whatever you could do.
Yeah.
What did you think about, I guess, every day? Were you thinking about winning the whole time? Or were you thinking about just getting faster, stronger, and having a more balanced life? Or what was the main thing you were focusing on of your thought?
You know, I guess the thought of winning, you know, maybe here and there it would kind of pop in.
Yeah.
You know, there's definitely like a kind of a gap, I guess, that I feel like it was just back to the drawing board, just back to training again. And, yeah, because the games, it just kind of kept, you know, comes around once a year.
Sure.
So, yeah, it was just like you said, I'm just going to get stronger. I'm just going to get faster. I'm just going to get better. Going to work on some weaknesses, run a little bit more because, you know, the run destroyed me. And, yeah, I just thought, okay, well, I'm just going to try to up my whole game and come back at it strong next year and just have a better approach.
Right. So, Tell me what it was like. The whole experience was pretty interesting at CrossFit 2010
yeah.
World Games. You went in there feeling confident. You went in there feeling strong, ready, healthy, right?
Yeah.
But you almost didn't win. Weren't you down in like 10th place leading up to the last couple events? Or tell me how that worked out.
The 2010 Games moved from Aromas, California, which was out on like this ranch, to the new facility in Los Angeles, the Home Depot Center. I'm not sure how new it was, but it was definitely new from where we were out on like dirt and mountainside. Like it's down to, you know, it's in the city. You have stadiums. You're down in this, you know, there's a track. It was like, this is a legit competition now. Cameras and stuff everywhere, like real designated warm-up areas, locker rooms. It was like, okay, this is a real deal now. So it was just kind of, I think maybe some guys maybe just got caught up in this whole new scene. And, yeah, I just was like, I'm just going to stay focused and just go out there and just do it, run my pace, run my race, and, you know, just hopefully get to see how it works out. I think after the first event, I was in 11th place, so I did well on the first event, not bad out of 50 guys. And the second event, I really didn't think it was my event. It was a lot of running, and I was like, oh, there's other guys that'll win this workout, and ended up winning that workout, wow. Get first on it. And then there was a heavy, heavy lift that followed immediately after that workout. And I think their whole idea was whoever wins this workout is not going to get the big, heavy lift. And then I am getting first on the long workout and then third on the heaviest lift.
Out of 50.
Yeah, so I almost won the workout back to back, which was kind of not what they thought was going to happen. They
right.
thought the fast, lighter guys will win the workout and the heavier guys will win the strength. And so it'll kind of even everybody out.
Sure.
So that helps. That kind of separated me from the field pretty quick. So I was like in first place pretty much the whole first day, or really it would have been day two leading into the final day, day three. Had kind of a bad event the end of day two, so I got bumped to second place. So I stayed in second place all the final day.
The third day.
Right.
Okay.
And just had to keep clawing back, keep fighting. It's like I'm sitting right here. I can win this still. Just a few points behind the person who's in first. And, yeah, the last events, they ended up kind of hiding us so we couldn't see the events. Didn't have any idea what it was going to be. They brought us out. They explained the workout, and it was go. So, like, you didn't have any time to think about it. And I like that because I felt like in my training, As I got closer to the games prep, I started just, if I walked in the class and liked the class workout, I would just do it. Right. I didn't have time to think about it, like, just jump in and just go. And so I didn't give myself a chance to overthink things and just trust on my speed, technique, and just my conditioning to just go and not have to try to figure out the workout and what my pace is going to be in my head. Right. And it ended up doing really, really well through the kind of the final three pieces of the last day, last workout. Wow. And I ended up coming back right there at the end. The guy who was in first had kind of a mess up on the last piece. And, that's just kind of how sports go. Mm. You come out, everybody's prepared, everybody's training. Sometimes you mess up. Sometimes you call the wrong play. Sometimes somebody makes a mistake and the other team, capitalizes on it and wins. And that was just kind of what ended up happening.
So the game was basically on the line the last minute. What do you think separated you from the rest of the field?
It's funny that, it was just, I could just hear kind of like everyone's like voices. Like my family and friends were like right there, right on the edge. I could just hear them just yelling, like, just go, go, just finish this. You finish this workout, you're going to win the whole thing. So it was just that mindset. It felt like the first couple times I ever got into those workouts where you just were dying and you're just like, I'm almost at the end. I'm so close. Just keep going. Just get the next rep. Just keep moving, and you're going to finish. And so it was just all that training that led up to the last couple years of conditioning and working out. It's like I just could feel it like right there. Just finish this. Everything you got.
Right.
So it was really a pretty exhausting mentally and physically moment, but it was definitely worth it.
Wow.
So kind of another thing that was really tough at the finish there is it's kind of the unofficial result. So everybody that did those final events, you didn't know who scored on what before, so the points still all had to be kind of finalized and figured out. So they just kind of took us back. We were in this kind of waiting room. We had to get drug tested. So it's kind of like this almost anticlimactic finish. We were like, I don't even know if I won. Where did I end up finishing? And just in a room of like five guys. So we're all sitting there basically knowing one of us won. We're all sitting here. We just didn't know who. I thought, I was second place going into the last event. Thought I did really well in the last three parts. So I thought, I have to, I got to be first or second. So I was happy regardless, but I knew it was just so close and just wanted that victory. So we go out, they bring us out, and we're standing there, and finally they're announcing third place, second place, and obviously after they announce second place, it's like,
wow,
this is me, I won it. So just kind of standing up on that podium and just, standing there and looking out at the crowd and seeing my parents crying and seeing my wife, well, at the time, just my girlfriend, just crying and just, I didn't cry, and it was funny that she was like, it didn't seem like you were, so super happy, and it was so much of just the journey and the path leading up to that moment, like all that energy, all that sweat and tears and pain and stuff that you experienced going into it. It was almost just like this moment just at the top, standing there like, I won this.
Wow.
I did it. Like I achieved what I was, going for, 2 years ago. And it was just an awesome moment.
Wow. That's really inspiring. So what is it that motivates you to work so hard? I mean, you said to spend 2 years to get to that moment of becoming a champion. What motivates you every day?
I think of just, for my own kind of self, looking at it, relying back even on what I was in high school and in college, it was a lot of my own self-reliant. And I, when I chose that path, there was times of success and there was definitely times of failure. And then sometimes you're just really, really hard on yourself because you're just expecting so much out of yourself. As I kind of grew my relationship with the Lord and started relying that what I'm doing and what I'm trying to train for is a bigger purpose than just myself. It's not just to inspire my own self and inspire my wife and inspire my family. It's there's a community of people out there that need to be inspired about what we're doing in this movement of CrossFit. So definitely being able to kind of focus and pray on it and know that it's not just about me. It's
right.
not
right.
Graham Holmberg's story. And, if you really sit back in the timeline of existence of people,
right.
We're really just going to be a small kind of piff of what actually is existing. So,
right.
I just knew the moment was this moment, and as I continue to train, is much bigger than me. So, knowing that, it just allows me to kind of just be free and not too much stress on myself, and just be able to just have fun with what I'm doing.
Sure, sure. So how much of being a champion and winning, getting first place, is physical, and how much of it is mental?
Oh, yeah, that's tough.
Because you're a strong guy.
I'm a strong guy, and if you look at, like, the stats and, you know, the conditioning stats and the running stats and the weightlifting stats and all the different benchmarks and times that you can roll into CrossFit, graphing and any way you want to look at it, I'm not the guy who you would say is like, that guy's going to win it every year. I was just kind of good across the board and didn't really have anything that was like, how did this guy win? He wasn't any better than everybody else. He just kind of was good at everything. And I guess that was kind of what CrossFit wants, is they didn't want somebody to be specialized in one area and then be okay at everything else. Because if that event rolls out for him, he's going to definitely do awesome at it, but he's going to be okay at everything else. Mm-hmm. Sort of really, you know, hammer it out if it's physical or mental. I still couldn't even say if it you definitely have to be able to do the stuff. You know, it's not like you can just have like this awesome mindset and go out there and lift 300 pounds or whatever the event, you know, asks you to do. If you can't physically do it, you can't do it. But I think that there's a reason. There's obviously some people win and some people don't. And I think out of the 50 guys that are out there, obviously everybody got there. Everybody qualified. Mm-hmm. Everybody's good enough to be there. But why do some people always find themselves in the top 10 or top 5 or top 20, or why do some people always just kind of finish in the middle or just really bomb out? And it's
the difference between first and second place? If the guy in second place was just as strong, just as talented as you, probably more physically ripped, everything, right? What's the difference between you winning and him getting second?
Definitely, you would have to say mindset. Mindset and mental approach.
Mental approach. So do you think being a champion is something that only a few people are born with, or can anyone learn how to become a champion?
Very tough. I think we're all put on this earth for a certain reason. And, obviously kind of that whole nature versus nurture and how you're raised and how you're grown up definitely plays into that. Some people are, you know, God gifted and can jump through the ceiling, or they're 6'7", or they're, they can run a 4.340. Some of that is just God given ability. And to a certain extent, I think there is definitely some pieces you have to be born with to have some of that. In the same right, I don't think that, I'm not 6'7", I'm not the biggest guy, I'm not the fastest guy, I wasn't the strongest guy, but it was definitely something that I felt like I could train and push myself to become with kind of the right teamwork, with the right network of people, with the right support group, with the right mindset,
right.
And then obviously just putting myself in the right positions to succeed.
Right. So what's your definition of success, Graham?
Well, I would have to say in the CrossFit world, or if you're looking to be a top elite CrossFitter, winning a regional or qualifying at a regional level to make it to the games, would be, one category of success. Being at the games level and winning, the whole competition, you could obviously say is success. I think it can be deeper than that, as far as, if you're happy at the end of the day, if you're proud of what you've accomplished, if you can put a smile on your face and walk away knowing that you gave it everything you had, I think at the end of the day you're successful. And it kind of comes back to what we've talked about, the mindset. I think some people are so down on themselves or don't believe that they can even achieve something. And doesn't mean that they can't be successful. Maybe not, but it might be very, very difficult for them to, in their own mind, to think that they're having success.
Right. So, Graham, for any young athlete or any professional business owner out there on their own journey, what type of inspiring advice could you give them to kind of take it over the edge and help them become their own champion?
I think it's definitely going to have to start, I think, within. Mm-hmm. It's got to be something that you want. It's got to be something that you're willing to sacrifice and make some serious adjustments to get yourself in the right position.
Right.
You got to be able to look at where you've came from, your past, what you've done, what you've learned from, what didn't work, what has worked, and start being able to kind of mesh that all together with your goals and know where you're going. Because, it's funny, I used it in the class the other day. We were just talking about positions and doing a movement, right? I'm like, if we can't even start or be in the position that we need to finish in, or if we don't know where we're going, how are we going to get there? Right. You know, it's just going to be this kind of zigzagged, lost journey, and we're going to make mistakes along the way. And I mean, that's going to happen with everybody, but having a good mindset, knowing where you're going, starting to be able to take sacrifices because you're going to have to cut some things out and you're going to have to make some adjustments.
Right.
Having an awesome support team, network of people, because you're not going to be able to do it on your own.
Right.
You just can't do it on your own. It's impossible.
Awesome. So, Graham, thanks so much for coming out, my man.
I'll tell you what, guys, this is some extremely powerful stuff. I think it's really valuable to hear that even the best in the world have lost their focus time and time again. The biggest difference is that champions get back out there and keep on going. So if you guys want to learn more about Graham, make sure to check him out on Twitter, at Graham Holmberg, or check him out on his Facebook page, facebook.com/Graham Holmberg. As always, feel free to head over to schoolofgreatness.com to sign up for free to be notified of our next episodes. And if you appreciate the show, then we would appreciate it if you leave us a 5-star review over on iTunes, because we would love to get the positive message out to the world. Until next time, thanks for listening, guys, and make sure to do something great.
At Metro, get an iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system for $99.99. Take amazing pictures and share them instantly. And don't put up with life's yada yada.
Yada yada.
Like photo bombers. Zoom, crop out,
yada yada,
and bye.
You don't take yada yada in life, don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Get iPhone 12 with 5G with no activation fees and nada yada yada. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Switch to Metro, bring your ID. This offer isn't available for customers currently at T-Mobile or that have been with Metro in the past 180 days.